All right.
Well, it's Monday, May 22nd at the Voltage Lounge in Philly. God damn it, Russian girlfriends, the best kind, of course. Red City Radio is playing now, actually. But I'm here with the band that was briefly called Reason to Speed, also Wake the Kids, but now for the better part of the decade, known as the Bomb Pops.
Wow. Welcome.
Thank you.
Oh, thanks for having us.
It's going to get weirder, trust me.
Oh, good. Okay. I mean, like, weird.
Okay. All right, so now you're in the home stretch of the tour. Has it been as frothy as you hoped it would be?
It's frothy AF.
It's so frothy. You don't like, this is a frothed wagon.
Listen to this froth.
Oh, whoa.
Love it.
Oh, no, you did your homework too good. Well, I love it.
Your words.
I know.
I was holding off on requesting coverage for this because I was so sure you guys were going to be on Warped Tour because I had heard rumors that there were going to be a couple Fat Wreck bands. I knew a Bad Cop was going to be on because they kind of let it slip when I talked to them in October. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, the Bomb Pops will surely be there. Nope. So I jumped at this.
Oh, okay. Good. Yeah, no, Warped Tour, we've never done Warped Tour yet. But
unofficially you have, though, right? Haven't you crashed it a little bit?
No, we've never actually.
Okay, just go.
The first time I ever went, there was no looking back. I went, you know, every year for like 6 years and then kind of got over it. Yeah. But
I think it's just waiting for the right timing on that one.
Yeah,
that's a mission to do that too. Yeah. I mean, props to all those bands. That is a frothy situation.
In a bad frothy,
like,
not okay. Good
frothy.
Yeah,
like intense froth.
All right. There's a hashtag, man goes to a Bomb Pop show once, detailing some of the nonsense you put up with on tour. I know in Albuquerque, you got mansplained a little bit, but has it been improving a little bit overall?
It never, like, improves. It's just, we should really tweet about it more often. We kind of, like, go, we forget to do it because it just happens so
it's
much.
It's, like, sadly used to it, I guess. That was the gnarliest, I think. Here and there, like, a staff member at a venue say something, but it's just normal, whatever. Nothing like that.
Asking if you know how to use your amp or not believing us that we're in a band when we're trying to get our drink tickets. Like, females, too, as well. Staff members, male staff members.
That's definitely why we came up with that hashtag.
Yeah.
Because it's just, like... It's that consistent where we're like, man, we should just really just blast these people.
Sometimes you hear the most ridiculous things and then you forget to write them down. Or like, that man just asked you if you knew how to use your amp and you're on stage.
And it's sad. It is. Or like, that's why, like, you know, Fat Mike called us about a couple of things, just comments and stuff that were out there. And he's just like, what do you think about this? Like, sadly, we're just like used to it. And yeah, we should think... care more, I guess, about it, but I don't know. At the same time, let them do what they're gonna do. We'd still do our thing and prove them wrong anyway.
You know, it's not like,
So I know you were pitching songs to Fat Mike for a while, and then he kept saying, oh, no, not ready, not ready. And then he gave you the advice to listen to the Beatles. Did any Beatles album really resonate with you in particular?
Well, mine would definitely be Revolver.
That's the right answer.
Yeah. I don't know, Rubber Soul's a close second for me too, though. I'm a huge Beatles fan.
Yeah, he's a Beatles fan.
When Fat Mike told us that, I was like, oh, girls, let me show you things.
We have homework
right now. About talking about the Beatles.
I don't think I have a favorite album. I mean, I'm just all...
Abbey Road's a classic. No way.
Everyone says?
Abbey Road, I guess, is an easy go-to because everyone knows that one, but it's still great. Every record's great, a great
Yeah, there's dime pieces on everyone.
He also told us to listen to NoFX. Oh. Nice your name and stuff. So, yeah.
He was like, come down to the and buy them all.
Yeah, come on.
All right, you recorded Fear of Missing Out in stores now in Colorado to avoid the distractions of LA. I think the questions everyone wonders about, what's so magic about the magic hot tub?
Goddamn, your research
is
on
point. Yes, I love it.
Oh, wow.
Babies were made in that hot tub.
Well, not like necessarily. I don't know. Well, basically, I don't know how much we can disclose of this. But just say that the Chris Fogel and his wife went home after the magic hot tub and made a baby.
Oh. Yeah, we didn't have to.
We were
in the room when it happened, but we.
I think we inspired.
Accelerated.
I would say instigated.
Yeah. Juices. We got some juices.
We got some juices flowing in that magic hot tub, and lady, we called the lady Fogel and the male Fogel. they just decided to make a baby that night, or they didn't decide. They just did. So that baby is as old as our record is, like, well, forever.
Yeah, conceived when FOMO was conceived.
Yeah.
What's the best thing to get at Chick-A-Latte?
Oh, yeah. The breakfast burritos.
Breakfast burrito.
I like the chorizo,
the hazelnut.
No, they had a good salt cold
iced coffee. The hazelnut iced coffee. Cause they told us bitches love hazelnut. Yeah. So I got that every day, and then hula hooped, and then like the one girl that worked there, she also worked at like the weed shop right across the street.
Oh yeah, pretty neat.
So we would, I know.
She was cool. She smoked us out.
We were there on 420.
Oh yeah.
And didn't even realize that. Like, it didn't click until we're like, oh yeah, Denver. It's legal here.
It's encouraged here. It's mandatory here.
Yeah, you better smoke a weed.
So we went to like visit the hot Chick-A-Latte girl at the head shop.
Yeah.
And we walk in, and it's just like four blunts getting passed around. Yeah. Dabs everywhere. We're like, oh.
Hot Chick-A-Latte, man. Just gonna miss it.
I know, we didn't go last time because it was hail. We went visited, but the hail was coming down. We couldn't walk over there. The hula hoops were not in action in the hail.
But the bikinis were, for sure.
All right, another perk. You were able to see Iron Maiden?
Oh, yeah.
Not only did we get to see Iron Maiden, it was like... They make fun of my hand gestures. It was a box. We had a VIP
room.
Box.
Yeah. Not just a box. Not only was it a box, it was a suite.
Private suite at the Iron Maiden concert. We landed at the airport the same day.
We just heard Eddie. They flew in the Maiden plane the same day.
Yeah, and then when we got there, the lady Fogel, she's a teacher, and one of the kids, she teaches fifth grade, and one of the kids in her class, his dad was like,
works at the
way high up at the Pepsi Center as far as like guest relations or something like that. And he said, if you ever need tickets, and she had never took him up on that offer. Mm-hmm. And so Chris Vogel was like, take him up on that offer tonight, please. And yeah, he hooked it up.
And the morning comes down before we go to the studio, he goes, we're going to Maiden tonight. We're like, what? Like all day in the studio, we're just like, Maiden.
I think like Iron Maiden definitely had a huge influence on our
show. Show was so epic.
We came back inspired. Like, we were so
pumped.
I might have recognized a couple of those riffs. I didn't want to say anything.
You can see it.
I was about to throw triplets on the bass in every song.
Might want to lawyer up. It's gonna get hairy. All right, so I'm curious about the songwriting dynamic between you two, because Polly, I understand you're a clarinet and piano virtuoso.
Yes.
You're very well versed in theory, and Jen, I suppose you're instinctual, or I don't know.
I grew up, like, when I took guitar lessons, I played classical guitar, and but I don't remember anything.
Gotcha.
It's a long time ago. But yeah, I kind of just, you know, for the most part, have been playing punk rock, pop punk for... as long as I've picked up a guitar. So yeah, it is just kind of like what feels right, what sounds right. I know how to like break stuff down if I, you know, want to figure it out.
When you guys are talking, if you're talking about like arpeggiated 18th notes in B minor and you're just doing like power chords, and I don't know how like you come together to
well,
song.
Yeah, not really. I mean, it's punk rock. I mean, we don't really like think about that much. I guess when the studio we're trying to explain things, like Neil and Josh were musicians, MI. Yeah, MI in LA, and they're very versed on their theory as well, but it doesn't come down to it too much.
Other than, like, keep, you know, changing keys and,
Changing keys and rhythm.
I'd say a lot of it, though, like, I mean, even the hard part after you do go, like, to learn, like, music theory and stuff with punk, and especially like the four chord pop punk we all love, like you have to kind of toss a lot of that out the window to really appreciate it.
Yeah.
So I mean, getting in depth about, you know, 18th, yeah, sure. You know, I mean, at that point you're kind of just like, okay, let's just take this back to basics.
Yeah. And then strip it down.
Yeah, and actually it's kind of hard because you're gonna have to unlearn some of those things sometimes when you're trying to like.
But it's nice to have it like in the back of your head at all times.
Mm-hmm. Also very frustrating when you're like, that's not right.
So in another interview, I heard that 15 songs were recorded, but there are 12 on the album. What's up with the other three?
Well, they're definitely going to get out there soon. I think we're in the works of figuring out what we're going to do with them right now, yeah.
I have a couple different
definitely,
ideas going.
Yeah, definitely going to come out.
They'll be out, yeah.
It was just a matter of, like, we went in there with as much material that we had, and, yeah, just kind of wanted to get them all done and figured we would do something else with the rest of them.
Didn't want to, like, throw too many on one album, too. Like, I mean, 15 tracks is a lot for, you know, it's our first LP. We wanted to make it as strong as possible and short, not short, but, like, you know, yeah. Just at that perfect time.
Well, then that was, like, a lot of, like, the sequencing and stuff. We had a hard time picking the which songs. And in the end, that mic just came in and sequenced it, which was a big help because we were having a really hard time figuring that
yeah,
out.
Yeah, it's so hard to cut three songs.
Yeah, and which three to cut, you know. He ended up cutting one that was our favorite, you know, which will come out later, but and putting one on that we didn't necessarily think we wanted on there. So in the end, it was just better to, like, relinquish that responsibility to someone else because
there's too much invested with us, yeah. You know.
Yeah, you know, everyone has their own attachments to certain
playing
songs.
Those songs for a while now, you know, it's hard to just cut yourself.
Well, I'm glad you kept Sweet for Sorrow on, even though it's from 2009.
Yeah, so, there you go. That's the one mm-hmm. that Mike was like, you know, that's definitely going on there, and it's, yeah.
All right. Well, Neil, actually, it's extra good that you're here because you're extra, yes.
Extra, Neil.
I'm always.
You're credited with the album layout and additional art. Are you working like a Jenny Cotterill kind of art thing?
I mean, I do graphic design as like my 9-to-5 profession.
Nice.
But the concept and everything was actually me and Polly both who came up with it. And then just setting it up, like, we kind of both had great ideas on who to work with. And the people we wanted to use for it. I mean, I did the layout for it. I wouldn't say Jenny's an amazing artist. I would never say I'm as good as
different,
her.
Different, yeah, she like.
But different, and I really like photography, and it's something I've kind of gotten into working with a lot lately. And that's kind of why one of the reasons why I thought it would be cool to go down that road for our record cover instead of like.
Yeah. Well, our friend Jessica Luis like totally nailed like the vision we kind of.
Yeah,
had.
When we both talked about it, like that was like the lady who did the photo shoot for us. We both like immediately were like. Jessica Lee should do this.
Yeah. She has her own clothing company. She's amazing. She designed a dress and made a dress just for the shoot. She had Tux sponsor like the shoes. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, she had this like
crazy hair.
Legitimate, yeah, hair and makeup.
Hair and
artist.
Makeup. Man.
She's a dear friend of ours. She's also like she lives in Los Angeles and she has like we Polly and I wear all like if we're not at shows, half everything else I have is made by Jessica Lee. And she's actually really good friends with Fat Mike and Aaron as well. Like Fat Mike has a tattoo of drawing of Darla on him, and like she drew that. She drew that, and like he has it tattooed on her. So she like her Darla wears a lot of Jessica Louise.
I was gonna say, if Adler had his vest on, doesn't he have a?
Oh
patch?
Yeah, he's got a Jessica Louise vest too. So she's a good
tattoo. But
oh nice. So she's a good friend of ours, and yeah, she has this really cool style. You know, she's kind of iconic.
Yeah, so we just like really like it was immediately like let's get with her on the artwork. And then we all, you know, went through the photos and all decided on the right one to use. And
the
layout stuff just kind of came after that.
Yeah.
There was a photo on Instagram where you ladies, and maybe you were there, Neil, I don't know, had just played for and talked to some fifth graders. How did that happen? It was Denver?
Yeah, so that was Lady Fogel's class.
Oh, okay.
We met the kid whose dad got us in the Iron Maiden.
Yeah, sure, sure. Yeah, we called him out. We're like, tell your dad thanks. we got hella frothy.
But yeah, that was our last day. We were flying out like right after that. But we're like, let's make time in the morning. We were all so tired. I was like, it's going to be worth it. Like, it's going to feel so good to just go do that. Get up and go to the class and play a few songs. And the kids were just adorable and just
so
bright-eyed, questions just left and right. And the girl, like, one little girl raised her hand, she goes,
Well, first of all, I'm just really inspired right now. And then how the question about like how to start playing guitar, whatever, but it was so worth it. And I was like, Jeff, you gotta do more stuff like that. It just warms your heart. Like I got a little teary eyed.
Aw.
Oh, that's audio.
Well, speaking of a younger demographic, you did a theme song, Run Bunny Run, for a pilot of a cartoon featuring a crime fighter called Bunny Rabbit.
Yes.
How did that happen?
Okay, so actually Mike, my husband, who's in the van right now, say hi Mike.
Hello.
He and I, long story short, were staying at a random hotel for fun and during Thanksgiving. Met this couple, started talking outside the bar by the fireplace, hanging out, whatever. And he this video worked for Disney for a long time and told us about this next game that they're trying to do. Not with Disney, but...
He created Monster in My Pocket, or was co-creator of that. Everybody remembers that.
Vaguely.
Yeah, so then he's like, actually, like, I'm looking for, like, a female singer, like, you know, for this next project I have coming up. And he's got his contact info, hit him up. Mike and I write, he helped a lot with FOMO as well. He's a songwriter and singer as well. And we wrote the song together, and Bomb Pops went in and recorded it. It was a really fun, silly experience, and we're still waiting to see what's going on with it. They're still trying, it's kind of like, they call it episodes, where it's like gaming and, you know, kind of cartoon, yeah, like episodes. So yeah, we love Bunny Rabbit though.
It's really
the cutest.
Fun. The song is really cool.
Yeah, the song is.
And the animation is awesome too.
Yeah, the animation that goes with it is really cool.
They actually
cool.
had like, was it Pin or Teller?
They did.
Who was that, Mike?
Both of them worked on it, but then
weird went wrong with the contract, but we heard the version of him.
He did the Bunny Rabbit's voice.
The bunny.
And
yeah,
did
on
it
the song.
In the song, yeah.
That would probably be Penn, because...
Penn did Bunny's voice, okay.
Yeah, it was cool, and he's like, just the fact that he's sitting there listening, because in the song, like, I wrote a part where Bunny actually talks, and so it was cool that he was, like, sitting there listening to her song, you know, doing stuff on it. But I don't know if that's still, he did it, but I don't know if it's staying that
it
way.
It was cool.
Yeah, it still happened, yeah.
I swear, it happened.
I have a photo somewhere.
Hopefully you have a lighter.
Doing an interview.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm nobody important.
Wow, you are. Come on in.
He wants to smoke. All right. I know there was some attempt at recording No Use for a Name's Chasing Rainbows for the Tony Sly tribute album. Any thoughts of getting back to it? And
that would actually be super fun to go back and revisit. We did have like a really cool version that we kind of worked out to do, but it just got tossed under because we ran out of time to make it on the compilation that was happening. And yeah, it'd be really fun to actually go back and revisit that. I never really thought about going back to it, but...
I was thinking, though, the other day, I was listening to that song, and I was remembering kind of the little parts that we had that we kind of added and changed, kind of. They're like little catchy things. That would be cool to do. Mm-hmm.
You can do the cover.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Go for it.
Live cover.
Yeah. I love it.
Now, I don't know where I got this from, but Jen, for Halloween, any plans on doing a Bomb Pop show dressed as Frank Sinatra? Or has that happened yet?
No, but as a child, I really loved Frank Sinatra, and I dressed up as Frank Sinatra for the talent show and sang South of the Border. Yeah. South of the Border. And like choreographed this dance for my other two friends. They were like the senoritas behind me, and I was so into it. I haven't done it. Maybe I'll bring it back, though. I should.
I've never heard that.
Yeah.
All right.
The rap name.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
Someone has to be Joey Bishop, though. Oh.
Josh.
What is Josh? Yeah. That's Josh.
All right, going through Twitter, you've mentioned crop dusting a lot of celebrities. Any celebrities we should know about walking around with the Bomb Pop stink on them?
Paris Hilton. Leonardo.
She already had a stink on her.
Yeah. Leo. multiple people we probably didn't know. It was a Halloween party.
David Foster, did you crap this David Foster?
Oh yeah, David Foster.
Denzel.
Yeah, Denzel I probably have. I've served him at my work, and I do crop dust a lot of people that I'm serving food to. So.
What's that restaurant again?
I'll say.
No.
It's fine. They like it.
No, I was gonna say, don't go there unless you want some fart in your face.
Yeah, exactly.
November 30th, 2013. The bouncers at Der Wunderbar have small dicks. Fuck Der Wunderbar. What's up?
Hey, no, wait.
Oh, that wasn't Davis. Oh, it was Neil and Joko.
Neil, let's hear. Are you okay? Okay. Yeah. Are you okay? Are you okay?
Okay. That was so he was there.
One. Neil and Joko.
He broke a table. He got thrown on a table and broke it. It was if you imagine a bar like
brawl
like out of a movie, it was that. Like right.
Yeah,
it was okay. Insane.
And they took that table,
as the person who
was the table out of our what they paid us that day.
Oh man.
Like,
well, basically, like it was a Thanksgiving show, and we went up to Davis. It was.
I got this one because okay. It happened
okay.
To me.
All right, yeah.
The bouncers at this place were fucking assholes. If I could say that.
Yeah. You just did. That's cool.
The girl, like, so Mike's band was playing, and like Jen and Polly were up front, just like rocking out, singing along,
jumping
and
in place.
Security were just not having it. They were being complete assholes to like everyone in the front, and like, I don't know. I just got super mad when I saw them kind of like
not. Yeah, and it was all
they were
friends.
Being such
like we're just like
the girls.
Jumping around, dancing with each other. We're dancing.
Yeah, and like these guys are just like really going overboard on what they like thought they should be doing for this. So. Half buzzed a little bit. I kind of decided to just go out there and get right in the security space and like rock out like this, going at him, like kind of pushing him forward. And the dude just grabs me in a chokehold and like throws me on the ground. Next thing you know, like the band jumps off the stage. Like everyone's on top of security. Polly's fucking smacking him from the back.
Yes. He's, like, on top. Him, like, he's on Neil. He wouldn't let go. So I got on him, punching him in the back of the head. He would not let go. Just like, let him go. And Neil's just.
So mad.
Our entire band jumped off the stage.
Like mid song, so like it was like right, like kind of the best moment too. Like hanging on the last note, throw all the gear down and jump off the stage.
And I got on the stage, I'm freaking out, crying.
Yeah, you jumped off, didn't you? Dude jumped off the stage on the table, or
no? He got tackled into a table from a bouncer.
Yeah.
The bouncer.
The
table just broke.
Neil,
like,
off the body, the pile of dudes that was on top of Neil. And the dude spun around and grabbed me and body slammed me into a table like WWF.
So I remember from that night too is the song, because Lizzie was really sick and or Josh's girlfriend was really sick in the van, and for some reason
it was
I don't
know why I was singing to the tune of Smooth Criminal.
Yeah, but it was like, Lizzie, are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay, Lizzie?
Be a little chocolate.
About what happened.
Yeah.
In song.
Oh my god, the cops just like,
So yeah. Yeah, fuck one. They do have small dicks.
Oh,
the Wonder Bar or whatever.
Fuck that place, yeah.
I got kicked out of the bar the year before that because we snuck Polly in before she was 21.
Yeah, and I still got in though.
And then, like, I tried to go back in to unload the gear and he goes, you can't get in here. And I said, why did I get kicked out? And he goes, for everything.
That was that's iconic, though. That's a good little throwback.
Steve Wunderbar.
Anyways, yeah.
Don't waste your time.
Never.
Tiny dicks.
All right, so what other cool things do you have planned for the rest of 2017 that people should have a fear of missing out on? I had to do it.
Yeah.
All the shows, we're still going.
Yeah, there's a lot of touring to do off this record.
Not yet.
Yeah, we have a tour in August on the West Coast that we're going to be announcing soon with a really cool band. Mm. And then...
A really cool band?
And we're going to Europe in end of September, all of October will be, then we fly into the fest. So yeah, just lots and lots of shows, and then soon, so hopefully like those other songs will be maybe we'll Yeah, hopefully maybe by the, end of summer.
I don't know.
No, not holding you to it. That's
well, I mean,
tomorrow they're coming out.
Tomorrow. Oh, okay.
This year.
Gonna be the end.
I don't know yet, but they'll be out. But they're, just touring shows, catching us wherever you can.
Yeah.
That's the social media where we'll be up on it.
I know.
I like your stupid rad merch guy right there.
Well, I was going to ask it, but, I thought I just, you guys have been patient already.
You know what? I'll name drop them. Sure. Because, they've actually been very helpful.
Okay.
And, really cool at hooking us up with everything we needed for this tour. If you ever need anything done, definitely go to Stupid Rad Merch.
Yeah, they're great guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very nice.
Excellent.
He gave us a bunch of stuff, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, she's wearing a sauce.
No, I'm not.
Oh, you were
wearing a sauce. I was earlier.
I just said it's audio, guys.
Yeah. Cool socks.
Yeah.
I'd buy those. I end every interview with this in a very hacky fashion, but stuck in a desert island, one album rest of your life, what is it? Yeah.
That's hard.
Ruins everyone's day.
It's hard, but I would say I'll play Trill Good Morning.
Oh, okay. That was my intro to it, too.
Yeah.
Good
choice.
I need to go for a run.
I don't know. I can never answer this question.
I'm not in the band,
That's fine.
Mike's answering for me.
I'm going with Carcass Symphonies of Sickness.
Ooh.
Wow.
Who needs production on an album?
Well, I always have to go back to the fact that, there's a million albums that I've listened to for years, but it would definitely probably be a Beatles record just because it is the longest running band I've listened to, and Revolver would probably be that record.
Okay.
Right. Maybe I'd go Pennybridge Pioneers just because I was the first falling in love with this, our style.
The Mill and Gone record for
them. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they know.
For the audience.
Oh, they know.
Yeah. I think,
that's a great choice.
Yeah,
choice.
Just solid. It's all around.
It's solid.
It's happy. You're going to be bummed on
that. You know what? I might say Smash Offspring, too.
Oh, we can only get one, Neil, so.
I know.
You're
already on that island.
Just cause, that's a good one.
I could go with
I think I'm going to go with that for the rest of my life.
A lot of people go with the White Album by the Beatles just because it's so much.
And it's a double.
A lot.
Exactly.
There's a lot of shitty songs on that record, too.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not like a great one through.
Double disc.
I'd go with my own band.
Yeah.
I actually have got to get something.
Fear of Missing Out by the Bomb.
Absolutely.
That's the correct answer.
Well, before I leave your home on wheels, if I could trouble you for some radio spots, whoever is feeling inspired.